voice last few weeks, and we're going to continue. The voice of God is the most important voice that you and I can listen to. Amen. The voice of God is the one that tells us the way, the truth, and the life. So He would be the most important voice for us to listen to and obey. We trust Him. We love Him. He loves us. So we know that He has the best way. Today we're going to talk about where is home. Where is home to you? Different thoughts on home. Happy home. Dysfunctional home, multiple homes, homestead that you grew up in, your earthly home, all those things. And as Tucker was saying, this is where we used to live. Now we live here. You had to pack up stuff and you had to get ready for the move, right? All of us. How many of y'all had to move from one house to another house in the last 10 years? Several of you. In that move, you sometimes will find things that you've been looking for years. As you box up things, you think, wow, why did I keep that? But you have to get ready, you have to prepare to get ready for that move. The Bible speaks a lot about a house. In John 14, verse 2, Jesus is telling us, not let our hearts be troubled, that you believe in God, believe also in Him. And then in verse 2, John chapter 14, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Father in heaven, may you speak to us and that we listen to your voice this morning. And we trust you and we obey you and take action on what you ask us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. David Jeremiah tells a story of a Sunday school teacher, and she was teaching a lot of students. There was a lot of students there that day, and she simply asked her class in Sunday school, how many of y'all want to go to heaven? I would ask you all this morning that same question. How many of you all here this morning would say, I want to go to heaven? Wow, that's awesome. In her class, there was one little boy. She goes over to him and says, honey, said, don't you want to go to heaven? He said, well, of course I do, but I thought you was getting up a trip this morning. Everyone is going to have to make a move one day. Every one of us here will move to a different home. And the move that I'm talking about, you will not have to pack up anything, take anything with you. You won't have to sign any mortgage payments. Praise the Lord. But you need to be confident. You need to be confident of where you're going. Confident of where you're going. Verse 2, he says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you, that's important, and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. There you may be also. But you have to make that choice. You're the one that has to make that choice. There will be a day when you will hear your move to your final destination called out. Are you ready? Will it be heaven or will it be hell? God desires that not one of you would spend eternity in hell. And that's why he made a provision for each one of us. That's why he sent Jesus, his only begotten Son, for you and I. That Jesus took the sin and the cruel death on the cross in your place. Jesus was buried, and on the third day arose from the grave. And he resurrected, Jesus did, and provided a way for you and I to go to heaven. And today, he sits at the right hand of the throne of God, interceding in our behalf. But I feel the presence of God here with us right now. He's with us. Soon, God will say, and if you look around, the evidence is with us today. The evidence is going on right now in front of our faces. That it'll be soon, I believe, that God will look at Jesus and he says, go get those who confess you and bring them home. Be the rapture. It's soon coming. You can ignore it, discard it, say it ain't so, but you're going to be deceived. It'll come so quick. God wants you to be prepared for the move. Not playing games, not playing church, not playing religion. He wants you to have a personal relationship with him, ongoing, that you are ready and prepared. Because not one of you will escape standing before a holy and just God. God loves you so much, and he offers the peace and the hope that only he can give to you. The question is this morning, do you love him? Do you love God? It's an easy church answer, right? But do you really love him? Do you show him? Are you dedicated to him? Are you committed to him? Are you faithful to him? Someone recently said, well, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. You don't have to go to church to be a Christ follower. Well, let me ask you this. If your spouse doesn't come home, does it hinder your relationship? If you don't talk to them, you don't come home, you don't spend time with them, and they do that for months on end, it hinders your relationship more than you think, because Satan is very subtle and crafty. Throughout the Bible, we read testimonies of people who allowed fear to prevent them from embracing the whole that God offers to them, both physical and spiritual. As a Christ follower, he wants you to trust him with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. He will never leave you. He's always at work in your life, whether you recognize it or not. The mansions that he mentions here in his words is better translated dwelling place. Dwelling place. And Jesus tells us plainly, there's lots and lots of room. There's big, big rooms, big, big yards. One group sang the song. There's big, big yards where we can play football. Big, big tables where we can eat a lot. Homecoming is a great day. We can come together in fellowship, and we can come together and have a great meal. But the homecoming day that's coming soon is going to be one like we cannot even fathom. Praise be to God for that. The place he's preparing for us is an everlasting home. No moves. There will be a homecoming day like we've never, ever experienced it in our lifetime. We don't know exactly how great it's going to be. But this home will be perfect. And it will be, you hear this term a lot, used a lot, this will be my forever home. No, I want to be my forever home. Amen. I mean, we can build a beautiful place and stay there, and that's great. I'm glad we can. And that be maybe your forever home. That's great. But let's plan for a forever, forever home. No more moving. You're there. And if you don't choose to go there, you don't choose Christ and don't confess Him as your Savior and Lord, the place of torment in hell, there's no moving there. You cannot talk your way out of it, though some people may think they can. You cannot and will not talk your way out of hell. You determine your destination here. What will heaven be like? I don't know, but He's preparing a place. And I look around at the mountains and places He's created here, and I think, wow, this is pretty neat. If He's preparing a place there, it's got to be way, way, way better. Heaven for Christians will be a place of glorious life that will never end. A joy inexpressible, limitless peace, pure love, beyond what we could describe. That's what heaven is. The greatest of all will be in the presence of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, with whom we will enjoy fellowship forever. Your loved ones you've known that love the Lord, they'll be there as well. Look, if you would, at Revelation chapter 21. I think of several over the last few years that have followers of Christ that have passed on. That's been from our church body. Those who's passed on, we think of them and think of the legacy that they've left behind. And I like what Billy Graham said, don't think that I'm dead. I'm more alive than ever, ever before. And all those loved ones as we've had pass away from our church, they're alive more than ever. And they're in an eternal heavenly place that is glorious, and there is no bad going on. You can't even watch the news up there and see anything bad. Praise God. In chapter 21, look at verse 2. Jesus allowing John to see just a glimpse. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. You know, when you see those weddings, we did Sawyer and Candace's wedding. And if I could have captured the picture when Candace was standing at the end and I said, Sawyer, you can turn around now. If I could have got that picture of his face when he turned around and saw his bride. Many of you saw that same thing. Oh, what a day that will be. When my Jesus I shall see. John saw this holy city in the Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. When you hear the voice of God, will it be a teeth-gnashing, horrific sound? Or will it be a sound to you of great joy? Revelation 21, beginning in verse 3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. And God Himself shall be with them and be their God. Praise Him forever. And shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. Praise be to God for his promises that are true. Do you get a glimpse of what heaven's going to be like from the scriptures there? Oh, it's going to be so much better. So much better than what can be described. Don't listen to the voice of the deceiver. Don't listen to the great liar about what heaven's going to be like. I've heard people say this. I'd rather have a good time with my friends in hell than to be in heaven being bored. Unless they repent and confess Jesus Christ, they're in for a terrifying eternity with no escape, where they will be isolated, where they're not with no one, but they will be in torment for eternity with no escape. And it will not be a party. Read what the Bible says about hell, because it speaks more about hell than it does speak about heaven. Because Jesus does not want anyone to go there. That's why he gave his life for you and I. Do not listen to the great deceiver. Believing in the assumption means that you've fallen into the devil's lie. In reality, sin robs us from fulfillment. Sin doesn't make life interesting. It makes it empty. When there is fulfillment, where there's beauty, where there's, you can see God as he truly is, an endless reservoir of beauty and majesty, boredom becomes impossible. In heaven, we will be filled with joy and eternal pleasures. Praise be to God. The word heaven is mentioned 276 times in the New Testament. John is giving us a glimpse of what he saw. Look at verse 10, same chapter, verse 21 in Revelation. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city and the holy Jerusalem descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like of a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And he had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and the gates 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which are in the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. And the city linen lieth foursquare and length and enlargeth the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs, the length and the breadth of the height of the equal. Jump down to verse 22. And I saw no temple there, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Verse 27. And there shall be in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie. But they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. My friend, I'm going to ask you, is your name written in the Lamb's book of life? Heaven is going to be a beautiful place. We want you to go there. We want you to have the confidence that is your forever home. The judgment is coming. You will be held accountable to the voice which you listen to and obey. Listen, there is no advisory board going to be there. There is no council. There is no committees that will make the decision for your eternal home. It will be a holy and just God and God alone. So you're not going to be able to manipulate or talk your way out of it. Judgment seat of Christ. It's where the believers in Christ will be judged and how they served and how they shared about Jesus Christ. As a follower of Christ, you want to be serving Him to your very last breath and being faithful to Him to bring honor and glory to God Almighty, because you will be in the judgment seat there. Be judged by how you serve and how you shared about Christ. Sin is not in view of this judgment, as was paid by Christ by only faithfulness and Christian service. Not being selfish, not self-serving, that will be judged as well. God knows our hearts. He knows our minds. He knows where we stand. He knows all about us. And He loves us supremely. The great white throne judgment in Revelation 20, verse 11 through 15, that final judgment of unbelievers for sinners occurs at the end of the millennium, before the creation of the new heaven and the new earth. At this judgment, unbelievers from all ages are judged for their sins and consigned to the lake of fire for eternity in torment. God made the way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father except by me. And many of you here this morning, you've done that. You've asked Christ into your life. You've asked forgiveness. You've confessed Him as your Lord. So the challenge to us as followers of Christ is, how are you serving? How is your faithfulness to Him? How is your testimony to others about Him? We sometimes think that we've got all this time. Time's running out. Do you realize it's almost Christmas? I heard Christmas music the first time yesterday. I was like, wow. But it comes around the same time every year, right? And God says, behold, I'm coming. Don't know when, but you better be prepared. Are you ready? God loves you. Wherever you're at in your life, God loves you. He wants you to be faithful to Him. He wants you to be serving Him. He wants you to be sharing what He's doing for you. Those of you here not sure, you're not confident about where your eternal home would be, I want you to know that God loves you so much. And He's willing to forgive you of all of your sins and cleanse you and give you a fresh new start if you'll simply believe in Him and confess Him as Lord and Savior. You can do that today. You can do that today. That you will make that move so that you have that move when you pass from this life to the next to be with Him in heaven. Christians, is it time for you to make that new commitment to Him, to serve Him? I'm thinking about when Casting Crowns wrote this song that was very personal to them. And I've listened to it as I studied this week several times. And it draws my attention to make wise use of my time. It goes like this. If I'd only known the last time would be the last time, I would have put off all the things I had to do. I would have stayed a little longer, held on a little tighter. Now what I'd give for one more day with you. Because there's a wound here in my heart where something's missing. And they tell me that it's going to heal with time. But I know you're in a place where all your wounds have been erased. And knowing yours are healed is healing mine. The only scars in heaven, they won't belong to me or you. There'll be no such thing as broken, and all the old will be made new. And the thoughts that makes me smile now even as the tears fall down, is that of the only scars in heaven. On the hands that hold you now. I know the road you walked wasn't anything easy. You picked up your share of scars along the way. Oh, but now you're standing in the sun. You forgot your fight and your race is run. The pain is only a million miles away. The only scars in heaven are the ones that hold you now. Where are you at? How do you use your time that God's given you? There's a homecoming. We're going to celebrate today. We're going to have a great time fellowshipping. We'll have a great homecoming. But as we fellowship, as we are here, let's use our time wisely. Let's pray. Father, as we look back, yeah, there are times that we wish we'd stayed a little longer and held on a little tighter. And Lord, that's the past. But you have given us the present and you have given us the future. That from this moment forward, we can lean on you and not on our own understanding. We can depend on Holy Spirit that you move us in the right direction and help us to understand how we can serve you, how we can please God and honor God in loving each other and loving you. Father, we thank you for what you're going to do this very day and be honored and glorified in it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you stand?